and we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We broadcast every Thursday evening at this time. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Gorder, and we've got another good show coming up tonight as we'll be talking men's and women's basketball at Northwest Missouri State, as well as track and field tonight as well. So, again, a good show coming up. A reminder that support for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the student body. Screen printing and embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides a Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More information at 660-582-2699. Again, our thanks to Carson and Renee and the wait staff here at Carson's for their work throughout this evening. And Matt, we've got special giveaways tonight as well. So we'll be telling a little bit more about that here in just a moment.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of stuff from the student body over here just to our left. So we'll have the opportunity throughout the show this evening to give that stuff away to those who are in attendance.
So, again, keep that in mind. And it's been another busy week on the Northwest campus. A couple big basketball games last night that we will talk about. And as well as signing day yesterday for Northwest football.
Yeah, and you know, we saw track and field last weekend, coming up this weekend as well. They've got another meet, some good marks and times and things like that. So definitely a lot to talk about for this time of year.
And as far as the giveaways, let's go ahead and get that taken care of right now. If you're out and looking at your seats, just kind of look underneath the tables there, and there should be a piece of paper with a number on it, and we've got a giveaway over here with a corresponding number over here with Darren Perkins taking care of things, and you can come over and pick up your giveaway that way. So we've got a number of prizes, and again, if you have a piece of paper underneath your table with a number, come over and pick up your giveaway over here to our left with Darren. And when we come back, we'll talk track and field. Scott Lorick is with us, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Track and Field Program. We'll talk track and field right after this timeout as the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show continues live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from Taco John's at 1015 South Main in Maryville. Serving breakfast and dinner, Taco John's is open Sunday through Thursday from 7 a.m. until midnight and until 2 a.m. Friday and Saturday. More at tacojohns.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell and St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee in Maryville. Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in store at Maryville Hy-Vee at 1217 South Main.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information is available at 660-582-7196. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center and the Prinery House. More information at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show as we talk track and field. Of course, the indoor season taking place for Northwest Missouri State and, well, most schools for that matter. But Scott Lorick, the track and field coach at Northwest Missouri State, joining us. And Scott, last weekend in Seward, Nebraska. By the way, you look at your schedule. Nebraska seems to be a popular indoor track and field location.
Yeah, we love Nebraska. Yeah, it works well for us.
And last weekend in Seward at Concordia, looks like you got several more provisional marks from different athletes.
We did. And first of all, as far as your first thing, there's schools in Nebraska that we have great relationships with, and you know, also with travel, they're local and their facilities are great. So it just works out for us really well to go kind of north in that direction than south. But but so much of track and field is kind of the relationships you build with other programs and coaches, and especially in today's kind of day and age where a lot of meets are closed and things like that. So there's a lot of places where if you can get into those meets, you want to stay in those meets.
Yeah.
But specifically on that meet last weekend, we had a great meet up there. Like you said, we had some good provisional qualifiers, and Tim Grundmeier in the 800 in our women's 4x4 relay, and Ashton Nybert in the 400. So it was an exciting day for us.
When you talk, just for those fans that maybe don't know exactly what provisional mark means, maybe explain what that is, because I know we hear a lot about it through the season, that different athletes get provisional marks at these meets.
Yeah, well, in NCAA track and field, there are two standards. There's the provisional standard, and then there's the automatic standard. So automatic is just as it says. If you hit that automatic mark for whatever the event is, you are automatically into the national meet. The provisional mark is basically what puts you on the list. So in general, you could say like automatic marks, maybe five people in the country may make those, and they take maybe up to 20 people per event. And so provisional marks could be as many as 40 or 45 people might make the provisional mark in the nation, but then those top 20 would be the ones that actually get into the meet. And then things change with people who scratch out of events and do different things because people qualify maybe in more than one event. So you could be ranked, say, 25th, but then after the scratches, you move up to 20th and you get into the national meet. But hitting a provisional mark is really just saying, okay, I'm on the list, I'm ranked. That's kind of like the first step.
So setting the standards, I guess, how do they go about setting what those standards are for automatic and provisional marks?
They're just looked at each year. The NCAA Championships Committee adjusts them each year. So based on the competition and how it's gone, you see slight changes in the provisional and the automatic marks each year because you don't want too many people hitting automatic, and you don't want 100 people on the provisional list either. But there have been times in the past where the provisional marks were a little too tight, and then you didn't get quite enough people that you would like on that. So it's basically based on history and the previous year's performances and making slight adjustments each year.
So far this year, for your squads, who have you been pleased with and seeing good progress as you hit about the midway point of the indoor season here?
Well, I think you have to start with the freshmen who are surprises, because I think freshmen basically are always surprises. you see them on paper and maybe you see them once in high school, but then seeing what they do actually when they get into the college situation is great. So the first two that stand out there, first Tim Grundmeier, a freshman from Gretna, already on the provisional list in the 800 and broke our school record in the 1,000 meters. I mean, that's outstanding. And then the other one on the women's side is Haley Manning. Who's right on the edge of hitting a provisional mark in the 800 meters and is now ranked third all time and also just as a freshman. So that's outstanding. And then beyond that, as returning people, the people that you count on that have proven themselves already, people like Ashton Nybert and Lakeisha McKnight and Nolan Zimmer and those kind of names there, they're continuing to do what they've already proved they can do.
Talking about freshmen and newcomers into the program, each sport kind of has its own adjustment, I guess, that the athlete has to make from going from high school to the college level. What are some of the biggest adjustments or some of the things that incoming student athletes, freshmen, have to adjust to from what they do in high school?
Yeah, well, I think every sport probably has the adjustment of a new training system, a new personality of their coaches. So we certainly have that, too. I suppose a basketball or football team, they put in some offense maybe they've never seen before, and that's kind of like adjusting to our different training with our different coaches. And we get kids from a variety of backgrounds, some from very advanced high school programs and some from high school programs that really didn't do too much. So we get a lot of variety in that one. So that's the first basic adjustment. And then after that, indoor track is always new for a lot of our kids because a lot of them have never run an indoor meet before. And then when you put on top of that, most indoor tracks are all different. Some are bigger than others. Some are really tight turns. Some are bank tracks. And the whole atmosphere is different. So it's a totally new experience on a lot of different levels for these people in these first few months of school.
Is there really a way to prepare for different tracks that you might go up against? I mean, you guys have some indoor space here at Lambkin that you can work with, but is there any way to prepare other than just have run on that specific track before?
Well, Lambkin actually helps us somewhat because know, it is small and tight turns. So most of all the, well, all the tracks we go to are going to be bigger turns than that. So, you know, you kind of prepare for, you know, kind of the toughest thing, and then things get a little bit easier. So, you know, that helps, but like bank tracks and like for pole vaulters, sometimes you're on elevated runways, and that's a totally different feel than a runway that's down flat on the ground, you know. So, and a lot of these things are kind of mental adjustments too. So, the athletes that are more open and more relaxed and, you know, can flow with those things, you know, usually handle them pretty well, but it's just a lot of new stuff that we throw at them.
So pole vaulters don't go high enough already. They need to be on an elevated runway.
You know, then. Yeah. Like Will Hare just loves elevated runways, and I have no idea why. But he just does, you know. And, you know, it's not like we get to practice on them or anything. But yeah, he just loves those.
Now, in terms of this point of the season and preparation, obviously, is always for championships, whether it be the conference or nationals. What's kind of this point of the season mean in terms of training? Are you just basically trying to get numbers improved in each event for each athlete? Is it just basically a week-to-week thing that way?
Well, we have kind of a long-term plan that takes us from August all the way through May. So a training program kind of for all of our events goes all in that kind of timeline. So to a large extent, indoor track is kind of like a stepping stone to outdoor track. Now what, you know, complicates that a little bit is an indoor conference championships and a national championships indoors, and there's always that battle that you always have of pushing more at a certain point because they're on the edge of things and things like that. So as coaches, we kind of have to adjust things and make sure our athletes keep a good eye on the big picture and don't get too caught up into just this week and what can I do right now, you know. So we have to really work with that, and you know, it's our job to be kind of the voice of reason and settling them down and controlling.
Now, as we look at the results and things like that, of course you get the times and then placement in the race, you know, they finished fourth or third or whatever it is. For you guys, in terms of coaching, does where they place in a race or an event matter, or is it just the result that you're really focusing on?
You know, it's mostly the result, but when you get into a competitive field, then the place means something. But most of the times, the place is somewhat meaningless until you get to conference championships or national championships that determines All-Americans or scoring points and things like that. But like this weekend, you know, we have part of the team at Doan, and place isn't going to mean too much, really, because every field and every event is different. So, but like, say, you know, Nolan Zimmer and Drew Kiefer are running at the Savine meet at Lincoln in the 5,000 meters, and, you know, looking at that list of the people who qualified, there's some good names in there. And so, yeah, there's going to be, you know, the place that you get in that meet is going to mean a little bit more because of that field.
In those situations where you've got multiple options to send athletes, what's the process in deciding who's going to compete where, like, for instance, this weekend?
Yeah, that's a tough one, too. The logistics of a track coach are a little bit different because sometimes we can be going to different places and different venues, and it's kind of a circus sometimes. But, yeah, we were kind of looking for the people that are ready for that kind of real competitive experience. And, you know, with, like, say, Nolan and Drew, you know, we were planning, you know, back in December that this was going to be the weekend for them to run a big 5,000-meter race. So, you know, unfortunately, they did qualify for this and get in. So, yeah, there's some things that we kind of plan ahead of time and, you know, try to look at that. But it's really deciding on who's actually ready for that kind of level and that kind of experience. Because there are also, besides people going to Dome this weekend, there are also people that are staying at home that we thought they just need the weekend off.
Well, Coach, so far so good. I know you've got several weeks left before you get to the championships there in March, and hopefully we'll see some more of those provisional marks and the ones we've seen, maybe even improved upon.
I hope so. That's what we're trying to do.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Okay, thank you.
That is Scott Lorick, the track and field coach at Northwest Missouri State. Again, as you heard him mention, they'll have athletes in Nebraska at a couple of different locations coming up this weekend. We'll continue to talk track and field when we come back. You heard Coach mention the provisional mark set in the 400 meters by Ashton Ibert. John will talk with Ashton when we come back here at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Highline Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HighlineHomeFurnishings.com. Support for today's game comes from Farmers Mutual Insurance Company of Nottoway County, insuring homes in town or out and farms in Northwest Missouri since 1891. You can find agent information available at fmnottoway.com. Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford in Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at tristatefordlincoln.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Medical Center in Albany. Northwest Medical Center offers inpatient, outpatient, home health, and emergency services with clinics located in Albany, Stanbury, and Grant City. More at northwestmedicalcenter.org.
Today's game is being underwritten by O'Malley Beverage in St. Joseph, Missouri. O'Malley is the region's supplier of Anheuser-Busch products and would like to remind you to drink responsibly and to always designate a driver. More information at anheuserbusch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville and continuing to talk indoor track and field. And Ashton Nybert joins us. And as we heard just a moment ago from your head coach, Scott Lorick, had a pretty good weekend this past weekend.
Yes, I did.
Just talk a little bit about getting the provisional mark in the 400 meters and just how that race went for you.
It wasn't my favorite race. I really wanted to work on starting out better, so hopefully this weekend I can really adapt and start out faster and continue that through the rest of the race.
What are some of the things that you try to do to prepare for a race like that?
Well, definitely just work hard in practice, push myself, push my teammates, and then just mentally focus a couple days before the race.
How much do you enjoy the indoor season?
Indoor season's pretty good. It's really a good time to get in shape for the outdoor.
And you've been pretty busy. I've had several indoor meets already this year. We've got a few more coming up. Mm-hmm. So just talk about the season overall right now for you and how it's been.
This past weekend was actually my first 400, so it felt good to get out there and just really get a good time. But I'm excited to continue and to improve my time for the rest of the indoor.
Is 400 primary the event that you run in the indoor season?
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about coming to Northwest Missouri State, a sophomore with the program here, and just overall your career at Northwest in a year and a half or so here, and just talk about how things have gone for you.
Okay. My freshman year, or my senior year in high school, actually hadn't planned on running track, and then I looked at Northwest, and I really liked it. I liked the coaches, and decided pretty late. And then I came here. My first 2 years were a little, just had to really get in shape and learn how to run track in college, and then just these past 2 years I've really grown and gotten a lot stronger in the 400.
When you talk about learning how to run track in college, what's been the biggest adjustment from high school to college?
Well, lifting. First off, we started lifting weights. Practices are just a lot more intense. Races are also a lot more intense, you know, a lot more stronger athletes. You kind of have to mentally prepare. So
now, I understand you come from Independence, Missouri.
Yes.
and St. Mary's High School. Uh-huh. Just talk a little bit about your high school career and some of the things you did in high school.
Yes, in high school, my fastest time was a 57. I won state my senior year. High school is more of a mental battle than anything, but I really think coming here, I've just developed a lot and mentally prepared and just gotten a lot stronger mentally and physically.
Did you run compete in any other sports in high school besides track?
Yep, in high school I did volleyball, basketball, track, cheerleading, and I did it all.
Sound like you're a little bit busy then.
Yeah.
What do you enjoy most about those sports?
I think I'm a really competitive person, so just being able to get out there and compete is probably my favorite thing about any sport.
Now, you talked about coming late to track and field at the college level, and what besides the coaching and everything involved in it, what were some of the things that attracted you to Northwest Missouri State just as a student?
I really like the campus. I actually came on a tour pretty late, so I didn't get to see most of the campus like normal students, but once I got here, really the academics program really prepared me for the future. So that really, I really like that here. And then just again, the track program.
And as far as academics, just talk a little bit about what you're studying here at Northwest.
Sure, I'm a pre-dental major, and next year I'm actually going to UMKC Dental School in the fall. So.
All right. Well, what attracted you to that field?
My uncle is actually a dentist back home, so I've been around it kind of my whole life, and then I just liked it and started studying for it, and then got accepted.
Well, all right, sounds good there. And let's just talk about again. You got several more meets with the indoor season, but as you transition from indoor to outdoor, what were we looking at with you during the outdoor season?
Outdoor, I'd really like to improve my time. My fastest time last year was a 54, so I'd really like to break that and then like make it back to the national meet and see what I can do there.
Now, also the 400 there in the outdoor?
Yep.
Is that the primarily event you run then?
Uh-huh. 400, and then I did 200 every now and then.
All right. How do you like the 200?
I like it. It's a lot shorter, so I can get it done quicker.
Well, that is true there. So, again, it looks like you're off to a good start right now, and hopefully by the end of the indoor season, you'll get that provisional up a little bit more even and get to that national meet.
Yes.
Ariel Ashton, thanks a lot for being
with
us.
Thank you.
Again, that is Ashton Neibert, track and field athlete for Northwest Missouri State University. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming up on the Bearcat Coaches Show here at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We'll be turning our attention to basketball next, as both teams are coming off a very good week with wins over Lincoln, as well as last night with that school down the road at in St. Joseph. We'll be back and have more for you on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's game is brought to you in part by Twaddle Realty in Maryville. As a United Country Realtor, Brian Twaddle provides real estate services for residential, farm, and commercial properties at 562-7562 or MarylandMoRealEstate.net.
This Bearcat broadcast is being underwritten by Championship Motors in Maryville. Located at 1528 South Main Street, Bill McCulley and his team offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats is provided by East Hill Shopping Center at Frederick Boulevard and Belt Highway in St. Joseph. At 45 minutes from Maryville, East Hills offers new restaurants, including Five Guys, Panchero's Mexican Grill, and Golden Corral. More at shopeasthills.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information available at northwestbearcats.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. More at 582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's game comes in part from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is open 24 hours every day and now serves a limited breakfast menu beginning at midnight. McDonald's, located at the intersection of South Avenue and South Main Street in Maryville.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And, Ben, I've got a question for you to start off with. What's more important to you, when during the season like last night with Missouri Western, or when during noontime basketball ever?
Boy, John, that's a very tough question to ask. I think a win versus Missouri Western keeps my job, but you know, wins at noon balls, that's pride, and I value pride a considerable amount more. So, as a matter of fact, today, I was 5-1 today, just in case you wanted to know, at noon ball, and really felt like I had a good showing. I had a good team. I had Joel Osborne on my team, who was a former Bearcat basketball player, and then we had three other kids as well, and we really got it done today.
Sounds like you had a little bit of a ringer there to bring out on the floor.
Yeah, Joel really stretches the defense for me. He spaces it out so that I can just bulldoze my way in there. I just go to the hole every single time and hope somebody fouls me and try to sling it in there.
Now, do you go man-to-man in that, or you throw a zone up?
I don't play zone, John. I've played zone, I think, two possessions in the last 2 years, and that was against Washburn and Northeastern. We won them both, so maybe I should play more zone. I can't stand zone. So, yeah, we play straight man-to-man, and it gets pretty exciting.
How about Nate Davis? Can he play any at all?
You know, Nate's an excellent outside shooter. He does come from the off-colored Bearcats, the purple Bearcats. So We won't hold that against him too much, but definitely steps out and shoots. You know, him and Meyer kind of negate each other, Austin. They defend each other and just try to limit each other's shots. So it becomes to where neither of them score a whole lot because they just sit there and hug each other.
All right. Well, we might turn our attention now toward we brought you here for, talking a little bit of Bearcat basketball, and your team's right in the middle of a pretty good streak right now.
Yeah, you know, we've had a good little run. Not sure how many. I think you said 9 in a row. You know, our focus though continues to be on the process and daily getting better. You know, in each practice, in each game, and we call it a horse race where, you know, the horses that run, they really don't know who's running against them or the odds of winning or anything like that. They just go run their race, and that's our objective every day in practice, every day during the games.
Let's talk about last night's game first of all before we go back and talk a little bit about Lincoln on Saturday, but great crowd on hand last night. They were in it from the opening tip, and you really got off to a great start against Missouri Western. I thought one of the big keys last night, coming out in the second half, you never took the foot off the pedal in that game and continued to stay focused to the very end.
Absolutely. We really came out and competed right away. We thought our scouting report was excellent. We felt like we had them pegged as far as how we're going to defend them. And then offensively, they play primarily man. They don't junk it up a whole lot. And so we had them pegged there as far as being able to go inside, being able to penetrate and pitch quite a bit. Our guys just came out ready. I thought we had our first meeting, and usually I can tell if we're ready or not. And our first meeting, I didn't feel like we were ready. I was a little concerned. And then the second one, something changed where they, you know, went over and warmed up in Martindale, and they got themselves ready. And they were locked in and locked in from the start. I thought even if we would hit a few more shots that we normally hit, Zach's 1 for 6, he's wide open, and he doesn't miss that many. I thought we could have blown it open in that first half.
And again, a good win, and also one of the things I thought was nice about last night, you got some extended minutes out, some guys that have been putting in a lot of time on the practice floor, and they got out, and they really continued to stay focused in. I thought you got some good play out of your bench players last night.
We always do. Our kids come ready for the most part, and I think we played 10, 11 guys, maybe even 12 guys yesterday. I thought from the tip to the very end of the game, we were locked in on what we needed to do, and that's important to do. Even in games when you're up 20, 30 points, you've got to stay with what you do and don't worry about what they do or the score of the game. Our kids did that, and they need to continue that, obviously, when we go out to Lincoln.
And you played Lincoln. Now you're going to play them two out of the last three games after playing them Saturday at home, back to Jefferson City on this upcoming Saturday for an afternoon game there. But go back to the Lincoln game, and what do you see as some of the things that came out of that win for you?
Well, I thought we competed. And in the last two games, we've really come out right away and competed. I thought that we went inside well. I thought defensively we got after them pretty good. I think there's a couple adjustments that we need to make to be able to come out of there with a win, and we'll make those in practice. But all in all, I thought we competed and played well, played hard, played smart at times, got a little carried away. Need to make sure we keep it simple when we're down there.
Now, again, you've got several important games coming up down the line. Even though we are moving into February, there's still a lot of basketball to be played before you get to the MIAA postseason tournament. Right now, when you look at this team, what are some of the things you want to see this team improve on as you continue on this year?
Rebounding, number one. I think we're rebounding well, but I don't think we're rebounding great. And we need to do that. We need to be a great rebounding team every single game. Consider every shot a pass and go get it. And that's our mentality. It needs to be. I think offensively, just continuing to take care of the basketball and move it side to side. And then obviously the penetrating pitch and going inside. Keep improving on that. And then defensively, really taking away teams' angles on the ball. We've worked on that since day one, where we're guarding the basketball, keeping our hips square, and making sure that we cut guys off without using our hands. And we're getting better and better and better at that. And you can see, as the game trends more towards the half court, because that's what it does late in the season, our defense gets better and better and better because of all that work we've put in throughout the year.
One of the things that I'm really impressed with your team, and it's really been a characteristic through the years, but it really seems even more so this year, just how unselfish your players are. They really have the team concept, it seems, that when they're out on the floor.
They do. We've got good kids, and that's the most important part of my job. You know, when I first got the job, that was the number one thing that I thought of, is make sure you get the right people in the right positions to do their jobs, we did that. You know, we've got good kids that are unselfish, that really could care less if they score 1 point or 25 points, as long as we get that win, and they enjoy each other's success genuinely. You know, I think you'll see teams cheer for teammates, but, you know, inside they're thinking, I'd really like, you know, me to do well. And our guys don't do that. They just want to win, and you can see it.
One of the things, let's talk about a few of these players here. Dylan Starzl is fastly approaching the 1,000-point mark in his career at Northwest. And one of the things that Matt's been talking about is just how impressed, and we're both are, not only is the scoring ability down inside, but, again, the unselfish thing where he's really developed into a great passer with that kickouts back to open players on the perimeter, where he's really coming into his own this year. It really seems in all aspects of his game.
Absolutely. He's been great. I think statistically he's probably averaging around 12 points, maybe 4, 5, 6 rebounds, somewhere in there, which doesn't seem like a lot. But his impact on the game, just because he's such a threat, you have to double him. And then obviously now he can pass, and then he can offensive rebound, he can finish. And then defensively, he's great. He makes a huge impact on the basketball game. As far as his passing goes, he's one of those guys that, again, his objective when he gets the ball offensively, or when we get the ball offensively, is to score. And regardless of how we do it or who does it or whatever, you know, as long as we score, he's happy. You know, he doesn't need points. He doesn't need numbers. He doesn't need a bunch of, you know, defensive rebounds to pad his stats. He just needs to win each possession and win the game. And he really embodies that unselfish mentality.
And you got another guy in your starting lineup who statistically doesn't stand out, but I think he stands out in a lot of other ways. Kyle Schlake has really put together a fine senior season, and he does a lot of the little things out there, and it really appears to me for you.
He's probably one of our most unselfish players. He's never really gotten, you know, I think last year he did a little bit towards the end of the season, but for the most part he hasn't really gotten consistent minutes where it's, you know, 15, 20, 25 minutes a game every single game. You know, it's 5 minutes one game and then 20 the next. And I have not one time heard him say, hey, coach, I'd like this. Hey, coach, you know, you need to play me more, or complain, or have a bad attitude, or pout. Not one time has he done that. And I can't say that for, you know, darn near any of my players. You know, I mean, he has a great attitude, great leadership ability, and he's a very unselfish kid.
And a guy comes off the bench and shares some of those minutes with him, Grant Kozad. He gives you a lot of coming off the bench.
Well, he's a post scorer. He brings what Dylan brings, where he can really score. He could probably even score it a little bit better than Dylan down there. Dylan's just so big where he can catch it so much deeper. But Grant can catch it at 15. He's a little different type of threat, and make moves, whereas Dylan's going to catch it real deep. And so when you have all those different types of post players, Kyle, offensive rebound, Grant post up at 15. Dylan's a low post threat. And then you obviously bring Zach Schneider off the bench as well, who's a pick and pop threat. Now it becomes pretty difficult to defend. And all four of those are probably four of my toughest, if not my toughest kids. I mean, they're tough kids too. So post players for the opposition always have a difficult time against our bigs.
And it really seems like while you'll go up against some teams that have some pretty good post players, they don't have nearly the depth of that spot that you have right now.
And that's what we've tried to build, is that depth and quality depth. We've got another post player that's redshirting that probably could start for most teams in our conference. And he would compete for minutes right now. He's that good. So we've got quality depth at that post position, and I've always wanted that. guards are a little bit trickier. You've got to take more guards to make sure that you can get five that are good, because they all have different types of skill set. Bigs you can put in positions to do certain things, so it makes them easier to coach. You just need size, toughness, and rebounding ability, and all four of those have that.
And when you're looking at your guard play this year, getting pretty consistent play out of the guards as well, with obviously it's good to have Deshaun Cooper back out there this season, but you're getting good play from Bryston. You're getting players coming off the bench and performing well that part as well. Matt Wallace comes out and does his role well, and it really seems like everything's coming together between those two spots.
I think so. Obviously, Deshaun's he makes the game easier for everybody. He makes everybody better. That's probably his greatest attribute. His scoring. Everybody sees some of the points, and he. I think he's 10th in the league in scoring, around 17 or something like that, as far as conference goes. But his impact on the game is as great as anybody in the conference. When he penetrates and he just makes that defense compact, and then they set to spread out, and then they compact, and now he can shoot. He's tough to guard. Connor Crooker, he's as good at playing off of anybody as anybody in the league. Bryston Williams is high energy, brings it every day in practice, and then obviously in the games he's offensively great, and defensively he's been shutting the other team's best player. Tyler and Matt come off the bench. They're as good a defenders as there is in the country at their positions, and so we've got some good depth there as well.
Talk about Funk, and he has such a great ability to draw the charge. That's as good as anybody we've seen there.
He does. Even with the new charge rules, he's able to step in, and he's not scared to take it. That's a quality some people just can't do. I was never great at taking charges. I would cut you off, and you weren't going to score most of the time. But it was difficult for me to get in the right position to take those charges, and you got to sell it too. It's not a flop, but you got to sell it a certain way, and he's great at it. Grant Kozad's also another one that's real good at selling those.
Now, you talked a little bit about the new charge rules, and obviously at the very start of the season, a lot was being made nationally as well about some of the new rules concerning the hand check and different things in college basketball. As you're into a couple months now, into the season, we're not hearing quite so much about that. Do you feel that most teams have made the adjustment with the new rules?
For the most part, I think it trends both ways. I think, there's like a two-week span where they call the hand checks, and then there's a two-week span where everybody hand checks and they don't call anything. And so I think it's still really, really, really inconsistent. I don't know that they know exactly what they're calling. And part of that is, as a coach, I know the tactics that other teams are using, like when they defend Deshaun. If you see a guy and his arm is tucked underneath around his waist and the other hand's out, that means his hand's on his hip and he's pulling his hip back. It's just a tactic that they've used for years, but it needs to be called. And that's one of the things that they don't call. They miss that still. Whether it's the hand check and leaving it on, they seem to get that. To be honest, a hand on a dribbler really doesn't affect them as much as that arm bar. That arm bar is tough to get around because they tuck that right underneath and get on the hip and you can't go anywhere. I'd wish that they'd be a little more consistent at it, but I still think it's cleaned up the game quite a bit. Obviously our scoring's drastically up, and I think most of the teams around the country are as well.
And it puts a premium on free throw shooting as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it puts more of a premium defensively. You got to move your feet. That's what always drove me nuts last year, how it was called. It was so physical. We love physical play. That's fine. We'll be physical and stuff like we're known as one of the most physical teams in the league. But we also work on our footwork defensively, and we work. So if you're allowed to put that arm bar on somebody, you don't really have to work that hard to put your arm on them and hold them. That's where I think it puts an emphasis on moving your feet defensively, cutting guys off, and playing proper defense.
Well, Ben, it's been a good week and a good several weeks for your team right now. And got the home stretch coming up, and hopefully the team can continue to build on what you've got going right now.
Hopefully they come out ready. That's the key with our team is if we come out ready and we compete like I know we can, you know, we're as good as anybody, but we can also be as bad as anybody. So it's just about gearing up every single game and playing it like it's your last.
And right now at the top of the MIAA standings, getting a little bit of cushion between you and a couple of the teams. Fort Hays got upset last night, and it seemed like they've been playing some pretty good basketball up until last night. But it's kind of nice to have a bit of a cushion right now at that spot.
Yeah, and we try not to think about it or talk about it much. We're really focused on the next game, the process, you can't really do anything about whether a team loses or wins. You can only really concern yourself. But obviously, to the outside perception, the outside world is, you've got a little cushion. You've got the two games, but what's that allow for you to lose? You know, we don't want to lose. So, I don't really buy into that. We're trying to not lose another game. That's our objective, and that's our focus.
All right. Well, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks, Chuck.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And we will continue to talk basketball. When we come back, we'll talk Northwest women's basketball. They're on a winning streak right now. Michael Smith, the head coach of the Northwest women's basketball team, will be joining us right after this timeout as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Vaquero and Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information is available at 816-806-7777. Today's game is being underwritten by Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler, along with their wives Polly and Rebecca, provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Kent Peterson of Stanbury.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating their 50th anniversary, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Dion and Judy Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes in part from A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering. More information available at 660-582-4421 or online at agrestaurant.com.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show. As John mentioned, we continue to talk basketball here. As joining us now is Northwest women's basketball coach Michael Smith. You know, Coach, between Coach Mack and AD last week, we've had a lot of noon ball talk. Do you have any stories about Nate Davis? Most of the noon ball talk is about Nate and his inability to score against these guys.
Well, I only have two noon ball sessions I've only taken part in. I first got here, they said, oh, you got to do noon ball. And I walk out on the court, and I'm the oldest guy by like 12 years. And I'm the most out of shape, and I said... And then they got telling me horror stories about people in the past that, you know, been out of shape. And one guy tore his Achilles, one guy tore his ACL. And I said, I'm done. I can't afford to, at my age, to do something like that. So I go out, and I'll be a little cheerleader for him every now and then. But Mac, you could play old maids against him, and he's going to be competitive as can be. So, and Nate could tell you as well. So I just, hey, I work out with him on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays. Tuesdays and Thursdays are my recovery days when they do noon ball. So
that sounds like the same thing with some of the stories that come out of noon ball. So might be a good idea.
It is great though. It's a great group of guys that go out there and do it every day. And like I say, I could see myself getting hurt, definitely. I think Marshall and I, Marshall Fay and I, we had an agreement we'd guard each other. The two short guys, we would guard each other, and we'd let each other score and shoot it when we wanted to. And I've let Marshall down because I think Nick's taken over maybe in my spot. Nick Peters over there, that's one of the trainers. So, what a great group of guys though to hang out with, over the noon hour for sure.
Well, let's talk about that other group of basketball players that you've got three straight wins. I know that one of the things we've talked about a lot in the last couple of weeks is trying to get yourself in position, especially with last night, get in position to make the MIAA postseason tournament. And with last night's win, that obviously was a step in the right direction, and you guys have some control of your destiny now.
Yeah, and we talked that a little bit about that. It kind of like what Coach Mack said, you know, we don't worry about what everybody else is really doing. You know, we just take care of ourselves and try to do the things that we need to do. And, you know, I think the biggest thing, too, besides just kind of looking in the mirror a little bit the last three games is that probably our free throw percentage has really stood out to me as far as the little things. You know, defensively, we've had our times when we've done well, and we've had our times where we haven't. But the Missouri Southern game, you know, where I think we missed 13 and we lost by 6, and that was kind of an eye-opening thing towards us. So, I mean, we go 21 for 25 last night against Missouri Western, you know. And, you know, speaking of that, obviously you know about the rivalry and from when I was here before, but obviously having it firsthand, you know, as a head coach. I mean, Coach Mack comes in yesterday morning all fired up. You ready for this? You ready for this? You know, Coach Mack, that's how Coach Mack is. I'm like, well, I guess I am. I don't have a choice, you know. And then everybody, you just get a text from here, from person. You see somebody in the game that you don't really know. Hey, you got to beat Missouri Western. You know that. You got to beat Missouri Western. So, it's been fun. It was nerve-wracking last night. Don't get me wrong. What a great crowd we had in Bearcat Arena. And obviously with our Pink Zone game, it was for a good cause. And just really, really happy for our players right now because they've been through a lot. There's no doubt about it. Through, you know, going back from way back when and the changes and adjustments that we've had to make from a coaching staff and things. And now they're really starting, I believe, to buy in and learn a little bit more about each other with all the new players that we've kind of thrown out there. And we're just trying to enjoy these last few games that we have and hopefully continue our season and postseason play.
To me, I think enjoy has been a key word these last few games. I know there's a lot more to it and there's a lot of basketball things to it, but I think fans are seeing and enjoying watching the team more, not just because of the wins, because they do look like they're out there having fun playing basketball while getting those wins.
Yeah, we have. I mean, there's been times, don't get me wrong, where we struggle, but for the most part, this team has come so far from day one, and that's what you want to see as a coach. Is obviously, you know, in some areas we're going to have our limitations. I mean, every team is, you know, from a standpoint, we're just trying to play to our strengths that we can. You know, we're going to have some off nights. Last night in particular, we really didn't handle the ball very well. We talked about, I know you and I, Matt, talked about how important it was to rebounding and handle the ball, and the rebounding almost got away from us, and the ball handling issue, you know, was a concern, but we were able to find a way to win it there the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game, and give our kids a lot of credit, because I was pretty hard on them there for a couple timeouts, just saying, hey, you know, this isn't what we're about. We're better than this, you know. And and I think the pressure got to them a little bit as well, but you know, how tense a game it was, how much of a rivalry. I give a calendar every month as far as what we got going on, weights, and then the Missouri Western game, and then underneath of it, in all caps, enough said. And that's the only game that I'd put anything like that, you know. So they knew from day one with me at the beginning of the month coming in, and our players have experienced it. And, you know, we've won, I think, 5 or 6, 7 now at home straight, which is always good. But now we got to move on. You know, get ready for Lincoln again.
One of the things we've talked about all year long with you is progress of the team and having those steps forward from when you first started to now. Where have some of the biggest steps been made with this team this year?
Well, I think, you know, our players have started to adapt to our patience, I guess, offensively and working as a team. Individually, you look at a player like Ariel Easton, who last year at this time was waiting tables,
yeah,
and was given another opportunity to do what she loves and play the game, and had to take a summer class this summer and get a particular grade to even get eligible to play, and you know, things like that. How she's really starting to adapt to the team. I think another one that really stands out to me is Annie Matthews. It's really, and I had her in the office today just talking to her, and I'm like, you know, I got to give you a lot of props, because I didn't give you a whole lot of credit when we first got here. I thought, you know, you just kind of a tweener, you know, as far as our size, our limitations, and she's gotten in great basketball shape. She's really buying in, and she's become a force, not only offensively but defensively in our league. And, you know, and what I told her, I said, I'm excited to have you for another year. you know, as well, because you're really starting to buy in. And she says, Coach, I'm really starting to have fun. And I'm like, well, that's great, because it shows in your play, mm-hmm. you know, and teams are starting to key on her, which I think is a compliment to her as well as a player. When teams are starting to, you know, and she's 5'10", and she's going against 6'2", 6'3", most nights, and holding her own, you know. So Shelby's been real physical the last couple games, got some big blocks for us. I think probably played her best defensive game last night against a really tough and talented post player. And she's only going to get better as a freshman. So she's not a typical freshman, obviously, being a red shirt. But, you know, and we have our other ones that are standing up. Meredith Scott's had some big games for us here lately off the bench and really enjoying her senior year. So we've had some kids that I think in the past have people have known. Timber's been giving us good minutes off the bench here lately. But some of these others that are, I guess, our newcomers are the ones that are really starting to progress and see, because they're gelling with all the returning kids that were already here.
One of the things that you've got now is the teams you will play from here on out, you have faced already this season. What are some of the things that are a little bit easier? What are some of the things maybe make it tougher having faced teams already in a season?
Well, you know, you're going with Lincoln, they're playing right now, obviously at home against Lindenwood, and they had to lead whenever I came up here, but we just had them less than a week ago, so we don't have to change a whole lot, I don't think, from our scout. What we're going to show and what we have been showing is just our clips of our, I guess you could say, our effort against them. I felt like we let them kind of play around with us a little bit, and teams like that that have nothing to lose, you don't want to let them play around with you, because, you know, especially when we get ready to go on the road against a team like Lincoln, you just never know what can happen there. So, you know, we're going to watch some film tomorrow before we get on the bus. And head up there with the guys and just say, hey, we're going to try and jump out on them early and set the tone that the team that you played 4 or 5 days ago is not who we are. And hopefully we'll come out and do that. And if we come out and bring energy and bring high energy and bring effort, then it's really, honestly, it's hard for any team in this league to play with us, to be honest, if we have those things. And we've shown that.
Now, earlier in the season, you know, like if you look at the schedule right now, what you've got, you have a very good chance of winning enough games to get into the MIAA tournament. Early in the season, I don't know if you'd have felt as comfortable saying that with any team, but it really seems like the team has gotten more predictable and that you can feel comfortable with the good basketball that you're going to see out of them on a more consistent basis.
No, I think so. And that's, again, that's our approach, is just to try to come in and do your job, you know, and be a great teammate. I told our kids the other day, we're going in at it. We're not content making it. You know, it's going to be hard to obviously get a first round bye, but we're trying to get a home playing game. You know, that seventh, eighth position, and that's reachable with this group, especially with the teams we've got coming up. So, you know, we've only got two games, I guess, left at Bearcat Arena, but they're opponents that. Well, we handled Lindenwood, you know, really got on to them at their place, and an SBU who just shot lights out, you know, at their place. So we've got those two at home, and we go to Lincoln Saturday, and, you know, after that, you just really don't know, especially in this league. You just really don't know, and it comes out to who brings the most energy and the most effort is usually the ones that's going to prevail.
Is that kind of why it's easier, and I don't know, it's always smarter for coaches to just look one game ahead with the team, but is that part of it where you can almost get overwhelmed with looking too far ahead and trying to think of different scenarios?
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is that, you know. In the back of my mind, I look at it a little bit because I start thinking ahead about, okay, we need to change some things up. We're getting ready to play everybody twice. So we want to add a little bit to our offense, or we want to change our little defense up a little bit. We're not necessarily going into the Lincoln game with that because we know they're going to play a lot of zone. But then next week when we go to Missouri Southern, and then we have that bye weekend, that's when we're really going to start adding some things, because we don't want to be predictable, you know, with what we have. I think our kids are starting to become more versatile within our offense, being able to do some things, and we've got to use that to our advantage.
When you look at opponents you've played before, look at the film, do you focus more on things that you want to improve on from that first game, or do you look at the things that you did well in that first game and you want to be able to repeat that? How do you approach preparation for one of those
teams? Well, I think a little bit of both. I think you look at what worked well for you. They're also going to look at that and see what they can do, and then vice versa. We see what they did against us that they had success at, and we want to try and take it away. you know, and just a little tweak here or there is usually what it is this time of year. You don't have to change up anything because your kids are just now getting comfortable with what you're doing. So it's just a little thing, you know. I mean, in Coach Mack's office, at least twice and sometimes three times a day, just talking about ball screen defense because he's big with the ball screens and I never have been. And hey, what do you think of this? You know, I'm, hey, Mac, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? What would you do if you were me? And, you know, he's been a great sounding board from that standpoint, you know, with various things because so many teams now are starting to run a ball screen offense. I'm not a big ball screen guy. Maybe I need to be. Maybe that's something I'll look at in the off season, but it's just something that I've never been real comfortable with, you know. So it's little things like that, but we're starting to see it a lot in the women's side. And especially with the new rules and and things. And, you know, speaking of that, boy, they let us play last night.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I asked one guy, I go, hey, what about the new rule changes? He goes, what new rule changes?
Oh,
I said,
geez.
Exactly. That's what I'm wondering, you know. So, but I think they also knew it was a big rivalry game also, and they were going to let the kids decide it, which was great. But it affected us, guys. It affected us with them letting us play as loose, I guess, as they could. And the good thing is we made our free throws and we got to the free throw line. But, you know, a lot of those things, a lot of those turnovers we had, you know, in any other circumstance might have been a foul here or there, you know. But it is what it is. And the best thing is our kids, you know, overcame all the adversity that we had from last night's game and come out with a win.
All right, Coach. Well, good streak so far. We'll see if it continues. Catch up with you in Jeff City on Saturday.
All right. Thanks a lot.
That's Michael Smith, head coach of the Northwest women's basketball team. And, again, along with the men, they'll match up with Lincoln on Saturday down in Jefferson City. We'll be back with more from Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee. Located at 1217 South Main, Hy-Vee offers groceries, delicatessen, salad bar, gas, a bakery, floral shop, and pharmacy. More information is available in-store or at 660-582-2191. Today's game is brought to you by Maryville State Farm Insurance Agents Carrie Myers and Kevin Neal, providing insurance and financial services at 121 West Lincoln and behind Applebee's at 305 Larry Lane, 562-3882 or 582-3512.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups to oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or in shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for today's game comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville. Pizza Hut offers a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights from 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More online at pizzahut.com or in-store at 732 South Main in Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery. Now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville, the Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
And welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from downtown Maryville, Carson Sports Grill. And Matt, it's been a busy week. We mentioned early on about the Northwest football team and the signing day for letters of intent. And it looks like Coach Adam Dorrell and his staff have another good class coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a very athletic group, I think, is the big thing. I mean, obviously a lot of these guys are going to be good at their position, but it just seemed like so many of them have so many qualities that make them better in multiple sports. And I think one of the points that AD made when he was talking with us yesterday is that a lot of these guys are really good at football, but when they focus on football, because a lot of them are multi-sport athletes, that they're going to get that much better. You know, when they get an opportunity to get in the weight room, work out, do that sort of thing, all that's going to do is add to the good that they already have. You know, 7 offensive linemen in the class, that was the most in any one position. We saw most of the other positions represented with at least a couple of athletes. Nice to see some area athletes that were signed. Of course, a couple from Maryville, one from Lawson. He's from the region. We see more coming from Omaha, and we've seen a lot of great athletes in all sports come from Omaha. Some players in Florida, that might be a new market that we're going to start to see more of. out of Northwest. So I just think there's a lot good, not only from this class, but I think it speaks to recruiting for the future for the Cats and just the number of options that they're going to have to keep getting good athletes onto the team.
Well, we get a trip to Jefferson City this weekend at Northwest and Lincoln. Round two of that matchup, and we'll be on the air at 1:10 with our pregame for the women. That'll be at 1:30 tip-off, and then the men to follow right around at 3:30. So another basketball doubleheader coming up. Hopefully we can have another sweep.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good things. Keep your eye on basketball. A lot of good things for both teams still ahead with the regular season starting to wind down.
I'd like to thank everyone involved with our broadcast tonight here at Carson Sports Grill. Scott Lorick, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State track and field teams. Also, we were pleased to have Ashton Nybert from that track and field team with us earlier. And, of course, as always, when we talk Bearcat basketball with Michael Smith and Ben McCullum. And again, our thanks to Darren Perkins helping with the setup and the giveaways and things, the kind of the unsung hero of our coach's show here at Carson Sports Grill. We'll be back again next Thursday for another edition of the KXCV Bearcat Coach's Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from national investors in Redfield, Iowa, and Northwest alumni R. Joe Smith and Greg Wilson, providing asset protection, retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. More at nationalinvestors.com.
Support for today's game comes from Bram Danfelt Funeral Home in Maryville at 206 East South Hills Drive. Director Jeff Bram provides families with pre-arrangements, burial, and cremation services. More at Bram Funeral.